The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my old friend Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Ray is back in the control room because Bob Dio is taking a vacation this week. So we've got Ray back with us. Good to see him again. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday edition, January 7th, 2019. Listening to AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We are plunging into year 9 of the Buckmaster Show. This will be our first full week of the new 9th year. We celebrated 8 full years of the program the first week of January. So here we go with year 9. Boy, how time flies. All of our programs, pretty much all of them over the past 8 years, are archived at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number here is 790-2040 if you would like to join in the conversation. And we're back with our Monday political roundup, the face-off, which we've been off for a couple of weeks because of the way the New Year's holiday fell and Christmas. So this is our first face-off in about 3 weeks. With me in studio, commentator John Munger, Tucson attorney, former chair, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. John's been one of our commentators for many, many years, 8 full years now on the radio, and then a bunch of years, I don't know how many on TV, but a bunch.
I got to get my fix.
There you go. Jeff Rogers is here. Jeff is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, good to see you, my friend.
Happy to be here.
Jeff, you had quite a holiday. The pipes burst at your home. That was that really cold. It's not so unusual to have a mid-20s, lower 20s night, but when we had that consecutive 4 to 6 nights,
yeah,
below freezing.
It was pretty tough. The plumbers I was using said that they were working like a one-arm paper hanger, and I think they were working around the clock, making a whole lot of money, I suspect.
Mm. What happens to the, it's under the concrete, or where do the pipes burst?
Well, usually they're exposed pipes that burst. This one was one where the previous owner had routed something over the roof instead of digging a trench. And even though it was heavily insulated, it just couldn't handle the cold. And so I'm going to have to reroute that pipe myself, and I've got to pulling together a plan right now of that too. And then one of my rental houses, same kind of thing, and that was in a pipe in the attic. And that burst as well. So I think a lot of people have told me they had the same problem this past week.
Well, what a start to the new year. Well, let's hope it gets better. John Munger, how was your new year?
Excellent. Very quiet and excellent.
And you took it easy pretty much and just tried to gear up now for 2019.
I gear up for your show, Bill. There-
You got it. You were did your holiday training for the show.
That's right. That's right.
Even though you weren't on the air Monday, you still looked in the mirror and pretended you were on the air.
I work very hard at it.
I know you do. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. We're delighted to have Moe with us. He's one of our legacy sponsors. He's been with us since the beginning. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge by Copenhagen. You know where that is. It's in the same, just a couple of doors down from Copenhagen. And, of course, they're on the internet, moesgallery.com. Jeff and John, some breaking news. The president is going to be traveling to the border. We don't know which part of the border on Thursday. And, Jeff, apparently there might be an address to the nation. Whether or not he will decide to use emergency powers, that's remaining to be seen. Emergency powers that would allow the federal government to build the wall. Would there be immediately legal action to that move.
I believe there would be. President Truman tried that in the late stages of World War II and led to a famous case involving United States Steel. And the Supreme Court said that the president could not do that. So you can expect a legal challenge. And the other thing is that this is by far not an emergency. We're seeing the fewest border crossers and the fewest apprehensions of border crossers in decades at the border right now. It's more secure than it's ever been. And because the world economy is better, that means Mexico's economy is a little bit better. And so there's less incentive to come here. And because of the avid enforcement of the border, there's also less incentive because people are getting charged with felonies on illegal reentries on the first time they come on an illegal reentry. That is a change in policy from the past, which disincentivizes people to come here. So I think there those of us who live close to the border know there is no such emergency at the border, and this is just another political stunt by this president.
John Munger, is there an emergency in your opinion?
Absolutely, there's an emergency. People that know the most about this, the border sheriffs and the Border Patrol, are beside themselves with the number of people that are trying to come across. We're catching something like 10 probable terrorists every day, about 3,700 a year. Last year. That's the ones we catch. We don't know how many are coming across that we don't catch. So it's a national security problem. We have people, you've seen the pictures on television of people, the caravans coming up. If we didn't have the wall up there, those people would just be pouring across the border in the San Diego area. The Border Patrol agents say it's absolutely an emergency. And so do the border sheriffs. Those are the people that know most about this, and they're the ones that are prevailing on President Trump to take action. Insofar as this national security issue, presidents have used national security basis for building buildings in Afghanistan and facilities in Afghanistan on a basis of a national emergency. I don't know why they couldn't build a wall here in the United States as a national emergency. The Democrats like to cite the fact that President Truman wasn't able to nationalize the steel industry back in the 50s, but that's a different issue than simply building a border wall. We're not trying to nationalize anybody. So that comparison is inapt. And very frankly, several presidents have used the national emergency, as I've said, national emergency basis to build buildings in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I don't see any difference there. Yes, there will be a fight over it, but I think the president has the power to probably do that.
I think Jeff Rogers is going to contend some of those figures about people with terrorist ties.
Well, I hate to be quoting Fox or Trump TV, as we call it, but Chris Wallace pretty much dressed down Sarah Huckabee Sanders on the claim that John just made as being wholly, completely without support whatsoever. I can't believe Fox got it right. They rarely get anything right, but they got it right that time. But so we're not seeing terrorists cross the border. There's just absolutely no factual support for that whatsoever. There is one crisis that is going on that we haven't talked about, and that is the crisis of these families seeking asylum. They're not crossing illegally per se, but they're backing up the ports of entry, and we don't have the manpower or woman power in these days and age to deal with that. And so we really do need an infusion of some cash to hire more Customs and Border Patrol people to deal with these asylum seekers. Many of them maybe have valid claims of asylum, many may not, but we still have to process them, and that's the law. And the law requires, American law as well as treaties and international law requires us to process these asylum seekers in a fair and unbiased manner.
What do you think that part is
a bit of a crisis. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to make two comments.
Okay.
One, this comment about the number of terrorists coming across. Jeff is saying, and Chris Wallace said, well, we don't know that they're terrorists because they haven't created terror in the United States. These are people from the Middle East coming across we have strong reason to believe, these 3,700, strong reason to believe that 3,700 people that we captured last year were from the Middle East, were coming in, what we believe were for terrorist purposes. They were not from El Salvador and Honduras. Yeah, they haven't created any terror yet because we caught them. But the Border Patrol believes that these people were likely intending to create terrorist events in this country. And I'm willing to go with the Border Patrol on that. They're not claiming everybody trying to get across are terrorists, just these 3,700. But that's 3,700 a year that we catch. Then with regard to the fact that we, what Jeff wants to do is let all of these asylum seekers come across the border. He's upset, and the Democrats are upset, because they want these people to come across the border. And then once they come across the border, we can hold them only for 20 days. Then we have to let them go into the country. That 20 days is not enough to get them in front of the courts. And they don't reappear for their court date. So what the Democrats want to do, instead of stopping this caravan at the wall, which is what's been happening, and process them before they get into this country, they want them to get into the country, and then we lose track of them because they don't reappear. 80% of them don't ever reappear for their court dates.
Okay. John, hold your response, Jeff, because we're going to take the break right here, and then you will be up first to respond to John Munger. The Buckmaster Show sponsor for our Monday political face-off. So happy to have Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We thank Moe for his support since day one of our program over 8 years ago. We also have additional support, and thankfully, from Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Have you been up to Mona's yet, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
And you know that they are the home of the Danish
Kringle.
Yeah, there you go, John. The Danish Kringle. And they had a fantastic holiday season. If you're in the vicinity right now, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, stop by. Have a sandwich. The bread came out of the oven, oh, probably a couple of hours ago. May even be still warm. Ask for the one I like so much on the rustic bread. That's that open-faced turkey sandwich. We'll be right back with the face-off. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Back. It is our Monday political face-off on this January 7th. Jeff Rogers, John Munger with us. Jeff, why don't you pick up? John was talking last, so I want to give it over to you. And one thing we haven't talked about, drugs coming into this country. Do drugs come in primarily at port of entries?
The vast majority of drugs that come into the country come in through ports of entry. Vast majority. I think it's something like 80% of them come in through ports of entry. There are some that are backpacked across the border in stretches where there's inadequate fencing, but by and large they come through in hidden compartments and containers, and sometimes with the conspiracy of Border Patrol agents. There have been quite a few Border Patrol agents who have been prosecuted for engaging in allowing vehicles to come across the border, and usually for money. But
John was talking about on that other subject about, what did you say, 20 days?
Right.
Well, what the law is now is once these people, if we don't have a wall,
right,
these people can come into the country. We can only hold them for 20 days.
Okay.
We can only hold the children for 20 days. People who are seeking asylum that don't come across with children can be held indefinitely. But if they have children, and this is part of a consent decree that was entered into by the United States government as part of a court case in California that was also approved by the Ninth Circuit. So they'd have to go back to court to get that law changed. The way to deal with this is just add more personnel. And those personnel should be able to process these people in a quicker fashion. I mean, if they don't have a real bona fide reason to seek asylum, then they should be returned. And you can make that determination in 20 days if you just beef up the number of immigration judges, and they've done a little bit of that, but not nearly enough, and the number of immigration workers that process these claims for asylum. So that's the way to handle it, because the vast majority of these people are coming in through ports of entry. They're not coming in illegally over a fence or under a fence or through some other
They're
area.
Coming across en masse, and you can't stop them. And so this caravan that came up, if there had been no wall there, those people would have just poured across the border, and without a wall, we've got to catch them person by person, catch them, detain them. You can detain them for 20 days, the kids for 20 days, and then the Democrats get upset if you let the kids out and separate them from the parents.
It's not just Democrats that get upset about that. I recall a great number of Republican representatives and senators who were astonished that this was occurring.
But it's by a consent decree or issued by the Ninth Circuit, of course. And so what happens is you end up letting everybody go because the kids are out. You have to let the kids out, so they let everybody go. And it takes longer than that to process them through the courts, and even if they're called to court, they don't show up. So the answer is stop them at the border.
Which is what they're doing.
Which is what we're doing at where there's a wall. But there's portions of the wall. We've built about 40%, 30% or 40%
of the total border.
Of the total portion of the border where there's intended to be a wall. We were never going to put a wall in across the whole border because there's parts where you can't put a wall in or don't need to put a wall in. But of the portions that where we need to put a wall or a fence or whatever you want, a barrier, we've finished about 40% of it. This concept that walls are immoral, that's crazy. The Democrats themselves have voted for walls and barriers for the last decade. All of a sudden.
Even the president has now backed away from a wall and he's talking about a fence, which is what we have right now.
He's talking about whatever will sell.
A barrier.
The Democrats have had a problem with the word wall. This is all a political effort by the Democrats they hate Trump more than they love this country, and they don't want Trump to succeed in his pledge to build some kind of barrier. He happened to call it a wall. He said, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but we need something to stop those people, those caravans, and other groups from just pouring across the border.
And we saw these caravans did not pour across the border,
John. They didn't because we stopped them at a wall.
It's not a wall, by the way. It's a fence.
All right. We stopped them at a fence.
There is almost no wall anywhere on the border, and never will there be a wall. It's more expensive to build, and it's not even as good at
Jeff, the only reason that caravan was stopped
was because there was a fence there and a port of entry, and the people wanted to come through the port of entry.
That's right. And if they had come someplace else and where there
that would have been a different situation. But they picked that port of entry to go to, and that port of entry had to screen these people pursuant to the laws of the United
States. And they are screening
States.
Those people.
That's right.
They're on the Mexican side until they're screened. But my point is, if they had come someplace where there wasn't a wall, we were just lucky that they came to a place where there was a wall, or a barrier, whatever you want to call it. If they had come to some place where there wasn't a barrier, there's no way we can stop those people.
Well, the problem is the places that have no barrier are highly dangerous places to cross. And so people die when they come in those. And so you're not going to see these kinds of families or caravan, as you call it, crossing in the kinds of places that don't have a barrier, because those places are very rare.
That's fine. For you to say, but over 50% of the parts where we need, where the Border Patrol.
The border has never been more secure than it is today.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, if those people had come across the 60% of the areas where we intended to build a barrier, if they had come there instead, we wouldn't have been able to stop them.
All right.
And we know barriers work because it has worked with this latest caravan.
How about politically? Who's going to gain from this if this thing continues?
Well, the polling right now shows that people are blaming Donald Trump for the shutdown. Now, he has his core little group of, 25-30% of the public that believe a wall is necessary and maybe even the shutdown should be done to get his wall. But 60-75% of Americans don't believe the wall is necessary, and the polling is showing that the president is getting shredded politically on this issue. I don't see how that's going to change. I think it's going to continue to haunt him politically, and I don't see where his face saving way out of this is going to come. I mean,
where
I'm
is
sure
it?
He's
where
I'm
is
sure
it
he's
come?
Looking for a face saving way out of it, but I don't know what it is.
I think that the Democrats are all politics on this. They aren't interested in national security. You didn't even mention human trafficking. The human trafficking does not come across the border entry points. It comes across in various places in the border where we don't have a wall or we don't have any place to stop them. They come across with human trafficking. People suffer, and they suffer in the desert. They are basically slaves to these human traffickers. We have no way to stop them. The human trafficking is horrendous, and what happens to these people is horrendous. The Democrats don't want to stop it. Now,
what happens to these people is horrendous. It's just that this myth that there's a lot of human trafficking coming across the border is perpetuated by people who don't know what they're talking about.
Well,
it exists, John.
Jeff,
it's a horrifying thing, but it's not that big of a problem.
Well, I will take the word of the Border Patrol and ICE and the local sheriffs.
That would be the unions who supported this president and continue to support
him. I will tell you, Jeff, that those are the experts. They know more than you know, and they say this is a national emergency for national security problems, for human trafficking problems, for immigration problems, and for drug problems, and it needs to be stopped. And one of these caravans comes across in a spot where we don't have a wall, we don't have any way to control.
It's a political stunt by Trump.
It's a political stunt by the Democrats who can't make a deal. The public wants the Democrats to make a deal. They have not even made a counteroffer.
All right. Jeff Rogers, thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
And
Bill.
John Munger, thank you, sir. And
thank you.
Hey, Happy New Year to
happy
both of
you. Happy New Year
there
to
you
both.
Go.
You too.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, presenting our Monday political face-off. General John Wickham is up next, retired United States Army Chief of Staff, right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and everybody is talking. We're doing local talk here on AM 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk. Local news and talk from 6 a.m. until 7 o'clock in the evening. So we are very dedicated here at Bustos Media to local localism and local talk. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by one of our great sponsors, Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs. They're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And it's not just for gardening at Green Things. They have Zocalo. Zocalo for years had their store over by Country Club and Broadway. Well, now they're over on the 13-acre Green Things site. They have all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. So Green Things has become a destination, not just for gardening, but for wonderful home furnishings as well. I'm just so proud of all these great sponsors that we have, all of our partners on the Buckmaster Show as we launch into 9 years of our program. We've got 8 full years under our belt. Now we're into the 9th year. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs is General John Wickham. He has been just such a wonderful and honored guest on this program for many years on TV. And since we began the radio show, General Wickham was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. He's written a book about that, by the way. That book still sells very well on Amazon. Korea on the Brink is General Wickham's book, still very much available for you, again, on Amazon. General Wickham served about 41 years in the United States Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, and he's with us now on the live line. General, did you have, you and your lovely family, have a lovely Christmas and New Year?
Sounds good. Yes, we did, Bill. Happy New Year. And your wonderful program, yes, you mentioned all the wonderful sponsors you have, but your program is very valuable because it brings so much to the residents of this part of the country. So you are a real tribute to all of us.
Well, thank you very much, General Wickham. And if folks would like to join us on the live line, any questions or comments for the general, he would be happy to hear from you. Our number is 790-2040. Give us a call right now. We'll put you on the air with General Wickham. General Wickham, I'm confused, and I think a lot of Americans are now, about what is this country's policy when it comes to Syria and United States forces in that troubled area?
Well, you very good point, Bill, and people have wondered about that. We've been in Syria for a long time, and it doesn't seem to be making any progress. And part of the difficulty is the complexity of the operations there. Assad is not going to leave at all. He's got support from Russia and Iran, and so, and even Saudi Arabia is involved, and Turkey. So very complex issue. It's got religion as well as land and people. And so I think the complexity of it is significant. Russia wanted to maintain its base on the Mediterranean Ocean, and it has that in Syria. So there's a complexity there. And are we going to stay there indefinitely? No. We're not making any progress. And even though we've got some very good militias that are helping us, Kurds, for example, and Turkey is away helping us. But I think we've reached the point where we probably should be out of there.
It is unclear, isn't it, General Wickham, if ISIS is indeed defeated, and really what is the situation when it comes to that group?
Excellent point, Bill. And ISIS, of course, very complex terrorist organization, and it's sustained by drug money and oil and banks that they've overwhelmed as they moved around the world. And it's partly religion, partly goes back centuries, and we're not going to defeat it. So if it's not going to be ISIS, it'll be some other terrorist organization grown out of the complexity of the Middle East. And are we going to be able to solve it? We should have learned a lesson in Vietnam, that we cannot go into complex regions of the world and bring our views, and we're going to win the war for you. We can't do it. So we need to do it through regional influence, other countries working together, and United Nations involved as well. But and I think the plan now is, of course, to leave Syria on a conditional basis. If we can defeat ISIS, if we can bring some order and we can protect the Kurds, things like that, then that's what the Bolton is saying, the National Security Advisor. That makes some sense to do it on a conditional basis rather than just a Bolton run. But I'm not joking with his name, but that's what we likely have done with Trump's actions.
All right, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Speaking of areas that have been troubled for a long time with U.S. military forces, Afghanistan, we've been there, it seems like, forever. This op-ed that came out last week from Robert D. Kaplan, he's highly respected author, Time to Get Out of Afghanistan. General Wickham, we're talking about 7,000 of the roughly 14,000 American boots on the ground that are still over there, and they're talking about now half being withdrawn, possibly by summer. What is your take on all of this?
I think that's another issue. Same thing, Bill, we just talked about. We've been in that war for 17 years. We aren't winning it, and we aren't going to win it. The Russians were there. They didn't win it either. And part of it is our failure to recognize that the solution to Afghanistan, if there is a solution, has to be regional. It has to involve India, Russia, United Kingdom, the U.S., and China. And we've not done that. We've not sat down in any regional way to sort out the future and to share in the burden of financing it. Now, part of the difficulty for Afghan leadership is where they're going to get money to pay for their country, their government. And we're doing much of it. We're spending $14 to $15 billion a year. Are we going to continue to do that indefinitely with no result, apparently? I don't think so. I think we ought to leave there in an orderly way. Now, part of the difficulty of fighting over there is the sanctuary situation with Pakistan. The Taliban is finding support from Pakistan, and we had the same problem in Vietnam with people going into Cambodia for sanctuary and getting recharged and then go back into the battle. So I think the time is right for us to begin an orderly withdrawal.
How about these military families, General Wickham? They've had to send their men and women over to Afghanistan. Some of them have done four tours. It's hard to believe, but that's a lot of to ask of families.
It is exactly right, and we're doing the same thing. We got people in Africa and other places in the world. Now you could argue, well, as the leader of the world, we need to do more of that. Well, we're no longer the leader. We have withdrawn ourselves. We're not in Asia as the leader. China is now the leader in Asia. And we have withdrawn our influence around the world. And even the President Trump has talked about, although I don't think it's viable now, about getting out of NATO and that we would be completely independent of influence in the world. I think that's stupid. In my humble opinion, we are part of the world. We are one of the great powers, have been ever since we were founded. And we need to exert our influence for the benefit of the globe and for the benefit of America. And we're not doing it in a smart way.
I think the Pentagon, and this was confirmed in that Kaplan piece, they're terrified of a repeat of 1975 when the panicked South Vietnamese fled Saigon as American troops pulled out, and they don't want a repeat of that over in Kabul in Afghanistan. You know, going back to 75, you remember that very clearly in that horrible situation as we left Vietnam.
Yes, I do. Interestingly, one of the negotiators that I negotiated with over there was Tran Van Tra, a Viet Cong general.
Mm-hmm.
And but he was actually posing as a Viet Cong. He was the North Vietnamese general.
Really?
And he came to me one night through an interpreter and said, "We've got all the prisoners released. I got one last prisoner, Captain Whitey's in the Delta. It's going to take us 10 days to get him out. Can you get me to Hanoi? I've got business to do." Yes, I did. Flew him to Hanoi. And guess what? When the North Vietnamese marched into Saigon in 75, Tran Van Tra was the head of that column. And he was very influential as the leader. An interesting thing about Tran Van Tra, he wrote a very critical memoir of the North Vietnamese leadership, saying that they were abusing their people in Cambodia and shameful the way they treated their own soldiers, for which he was punished, took away his pension, and Tran Van Tra died as a pauper.
Mm.
But he was a true man to his own interests, and somebody that I, as I say, negotiated directly with and had contact with.
Was he a good military leader, in your opinion?
No, he was a killer, and he would pick up a pistol if necessary and shoot somebody in the head. If necessary. You know, it was this awful war, and I think the people that are reflecting on that today in their articles and books, I think, are wise to do that reflection.
All right. General Wickham will stick around for another segment, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in our conversation with General Wickham, give us a call right now. But we're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show, this Monday edition. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. General John Wickham, former United States Army Secretary, Chief of Staff, with us on the program. The Secretary of Defense, Mr. Mattis, is gone. Some of your thoughts on that, General Wickham, in a moment. But first, I want to tell people about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive over to a great portion of the southwestern United States. Convenient drive, great area, great accommodations, so much to do. We send so many of the Buckmaster listeners over to this beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. And they all come back and say the same thing. Bill, thank you for talking about this and sending us over there. So much to do that we didn't even realize this great area was just so close. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the listing. So many great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, another one of our wonderful sponsors that make this program possible. Now, General Wickham, your thoughts about former Secretary of Defense Mattis.
Yeah, Jim. Bill. I served two Secretaries of Defense, Jim Schlesinger and Don Rumsfeld, so I know something about the pressures that they face and their interaction with the president. Now, Jim Mattis, a remarkable guy, very capable in his service as a Marine, and I thought he did a good job as Secretary of Defense. However, the difficulty is when you get the president that goes around you and does things on his own and bypasses you. For example, the president picked a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that Mattis did not support. And also, the president came out with his own views about, we're going to get out of Syria right now, and Afghanistan. And he never listened to any advice. What the Secretary of Defense is going to do? So Mattis finally, I think, just felt he was being bypassed. What am I doing in this job? So I'm going to leave. And I think he was wise to leave. It's sad, but it's an illustration of the manner in which, the chaotic manner in which our country is being run now. I don't want to get involved in politics any more than that, but we're going to face more of this in the next 2 years.
There is a very troubling development going on, and I don't know if folks are really aware of it, but during the Cold War, the Soviet Union and the United States had agreed to limits on intermediate range nuclear missiles. Now, there is evidence that Russia has deployed, and deployed successfully in their tests, some of these missiles in violation of the treaty. This is a very dangerous development.
You're right, Bill, and I recall at Davis-Monthan when we were dismantling our intermediate-range missiles. We did some of that at Davis-Monthan so that from satellites the Soviets could see that going on, seeing that we were completing our part of the responsibility.
Yeah, I remember. So, I remember that. That was.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, in any event. It's bad news, and Putin has said he's not going to stop it. He's going to keep it up and deploying these missiles. So given the world in which he faces. Now, the reality is that here's another reality we've got to face of leadership. Putin is probably going to be Chancellor of Russia for life.
Yeah.
And so is the President Xi in China.
Right.
Head of the China for life. So we're going to be dealing with strong, influential leaders, and we have to have good relations with them. And instead of doing what we're doing, irritating them, doing things that contribute to chaotic relationships. We need to work up, do better. You know, the State Department, and if we're talking about diplomacy, the State Department, after 2 years of this administration, is only about 60% manned.
Really?
With professionals.
Wow.
Yes, and we don't have ambassadors in many countries. And golly days, how are you going to have diplomatic relations and negotiations when you don't have people in your own State Department? Look at the North Korean situation. Back and forth, back and forth. Now, we're probably going to have another summit because there is a desire from this administration and also from North Korea for another publicity event. It's good domestically, but it's gotten us nowhere. And the North Koreans are not going to give up their weapons. And Kim Jong-un has just said, you read about that, you're going to give up the sanctions. The sanctions are causing problems to North Korea. We're not going to make any compromises with sanctions. And we're not. And the Trump administration, it just the past week, has said we're going to continue the sanctions. So we're getting nowhere on the North Korean situation, even though we're going to have a summit.
All right. Let's hear from a friend of yours. Matt is with us on the live line. He'd like to speak with General Wickham.
Matt,
go ahead, Matt.
Matt's always got good questions.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, well, good morning or good afternoon, General Wickham and Bill. First of all, I'd like to offer my condolences on the passing of the Secretary of Defense, Secretary Harold Brown, who was instrumental, I think, in leading our improvement in technology in the military. And he recently just passed away. And I know that that's a loss for the RAND Corporation, where I think he had a large influence. But speaking of technology, General Wickham, there's discussions about the Chinese finally putting a railgun out to sea in their navy. How close are we to losing our capacity to really defend Taiwan? Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Good question.
Good question. Incidentally, Harold Brown, a dear friend, I spoke with him frequently on the secure phone in Korea, and sometimes also at nighttime because of the time difference. So it's kind of sad to lose somebody like that that I work closely with. And with the Chinese, and here again, Matt, as you know better than anybody, as you do your reading and study, the Chinese are going to be the dominant influence in Asia. And we've backed off, unfortunately, and we shouldn't have done that. And so with Taiwan, China has said again, Taiwan is part of China. And we've acknowledged that over the years. So it's going to happen. Now, China is now what's influenced. Now, China is saying we may use force to make sure that that happens and stop all this independent movement going on in Taiwan. Well, that isn't going to happen because many countries, including the United States, have supported an independent Taiwan with weapons and defense. And are we going to go over there and fight China to protect Taiwan? I don't think so, but we've done a lot to build up Taiwan's ability to defend itself. So China is going to produce some anxiety there with Taiwan, and I think there's probably a negotiated solution here if we would work at it, and we're not working at it.
Quickly, Matt brought up some kind of a rail gun. Could you explain that real quickly?
Well, I'm not sure the nature of that gun, but it's a gun that can be moved around on rails or moved by boat. But it's a weapon so it's hard to retaliate against that weapon because it's mobile and it can reach long distances. So that kind of a weapon can be used to fire into Taiwan and destroy targets there.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. Did you go out and do your exercise today?
Yep, I do every day. The good Lord gives me a chance to get out on my tricycle and ride. It's good for the heart. It's good for the good for the brain to ride around in this beautiful countryside and to commune with the good Lord and thank him for all the blessings he gives us, a blessing of your program, Bill, and the blessing of your family, your Ann, and all you do for us.
Well, thank you so much, General Wickham, and Happy New Year to you and Ann and all of the family. We all respect them so much. Thank you, sir.
Happy New Year, yes. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks
God bless.
General John Wickham, he's my mentor. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I love to hear from General Wickham. 90 years old? Wow, he was on his game today, I'll tell you. He's exercising and doing the right things. Just so much respect for that man. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Really, our first Monday live show of 2019. Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, wishing everybody a great afternoon, as do I. I on the ball, Steve Rivera. Steve's just itching to get in here. I think Gabe is going to be a guest host with him. I got to go out and say hello to Gabe if he's here. Anyway, have a great afternoon and evening.